Good man.
Yes, this is another wonderful opportunity to be in the presence of God. And apologies for our slides. Sometimes it's out of our hands. I'm sure the brother is doing a lot to make sure everything works out. And I pray that our service today will be a sweet-smelling sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Today, what we shall be admonishing ourselves with is titled The Parable of the Talents. Yes, you must have heard this before, The Parable of the Talent. The Talent Parable is one of the popular parables of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, according to his manner in his teaching, he makes use of different parables, and there are profound lessons that we can share in these parables. For this morning, we take a quick look at that parable of talent and see how we may learn one or two things that will be very valuable to our Christian life. If you are listening to the Bible reading of Matthew chapter 25 from 26 to 30, the entire story starts from verse 14. You can write it down and read it at home. The Bible told us that in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, that we should exalt ourselves daily while it is called today. You may wonder, why do we say almost the same thing? Or maybe, I have been listening to this word. Why should I come back again and listen to the same set of words? God knows that human mind is so fragile and easy to forget. Secondly, we have a tendency of sinning. And that is the reason the Bible has encouraged us that. He said, exalting one another daily while it is called today. Lest any man be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Many occasions, the things we do and proud and confident about are sinful. But maybe we have forgotten the will of God. This morning, we intend to remind ourselves of the will of God concerning us, using this parable as maybe case study or evidence or reference. We often use opportunities like this to encourage ourselves. That is the beauty of coming to church. Sometimes some people believe that, well, it's the same thing. It feels like a ritual. We come, we pray, we sing. But not just that. We also encourage ourselves because we are weak. And with the word of God, we are strong. We remind ourselves of God's desire for us so that we will not join the world and be deceived by sin. The parable of the talent teaches us three significant things. It teaches us stewardship, faithfulness, and accountability towards God. Oftentimes, we used to see this parable as some anonymous thing. Or maybe a story with that just flowed easily and never really connected to our daily lives. But this parable not just speaks to the children of Israel and the listener of Jesus at that point in time, it speaks to us today. It teaches us what it means to be a good steward. It teaches us to be faithful, and very importantly, is accountability. Do you know that as Christians, we are held that we are accountable for everything that we do? Even, let me shock you, the sermon, the lessons that you listen to, you are accountable for it. Because these things are testimony that yes, you have had, and what are you doing about it? Jesus used this parable to show how we should manage the gifts, abilities, and resources God has entrusted into our hands. The life that we have, it is not because we are wiser okay, maybe because we are not a smoker, and yes, we don't have a lung problem and out there, or because I have been very meticulous, I'm clean, and so I'm not infected. But I tell you, the life you have is just a gift. It's an opportunity that God has given to you. But how are you, are we using it? In the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verse 6, God has given us, the Bible told us that God has given us different gifts according to his grace. Some of us, maybe we have known about this, right? But we'll talk more about it. Like I said earlier, that the parable specifically teaches us how to manage the gifts, the ability, the resources God has given unto us. The Bible told us that we all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. Maybe my ability is to talk. Maybe yours, your ability is to listen. Or maybe your ability is discretion. Some people don't have good discretion. Maybe your ability is organizing or doing one thing or the other. God has given us various abilities, and they require us to be diligent with those abilities. Let's quickly look at an example of these gifts and abilities God has given to us. It can be knowledge. Some people have knowledge of certain things by natural gifting. It could be skill. Yes, skill can be learned, but some people have natural skills. And we all do have natural skills. And the way to identify your skill is not difficult. It's what you do easily and freely. So many times, we do not value how much those skills can achieve. Our strength, like young men, I remember growing up in a family of boys. I have five brothers, and we are all tall, almost like me. Imagine if you go into a house and knock the gate, and when you enter into that house and five boys like this came out, how would you feel? Probably intimidated. Your own gifts, ability, might be strength. But how are you using it? It could be height. As a tall man, not everybody can reach some height. But that could be yours. I'm just trying to make it look as simple and elementary things that you don't recognize that it is a gift of God. Don't forget, all these gifts the Lord has given it to us to his own glory and not for our use or purpose or glory, but to his own glory. It could be education. You have the opportunity to be educated. It could be your family. Your family might be the precious gift God has entrusted into your hand. How are you using it to glorify God? Or maybe your spouse, your wife, or your husband. How are you using this? It could be friends that God has brought around you. How are we using them to glorify God? It could be opportunities. Some of us have wonderful opportunities. Just like today, you have an opportunity to listen to the word of God. Some people never had this opportunity. In one of the stories of Jesus Christ to the children of Israel, when he was rebuking them, he said, if only some cities had the privilege of listening to this message, maybe their life would have been better. But today, we have opportunity. Every Sunday, we come here, we listen. If we do everything wrong, I'm sure it's not these messages. Because these messages are profound. They are true. And most especially, it is the word of God. What are you doing about it? Your gift might be time. Yes. Your own might be much. Or maybe little. But it is a gift of God. How are you using it? It could be resources. Resources in terms of money, wealth, chance. In the book of James chapter 1 verse 17, can we read? James 1:17. Verse 17, yes, sir. There are every good deed and every perfect deed is from above and come down from the Father of light, which come here is no variation of the shadow of turning. Thank you very much. The Bible says every good deed, every perfect deed is from above and coming down from the Father of light, whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Sometimes we feel that we do not have an ability, or maybe a brother, or a neighbor, or somebody else has more than you do. But the passage told us that God is not partial. He knows each and every one of us, and what He has given us, He has entrusted it so that we can use it for His own purpose. You may understand it better as we go along. What does this parable actually teach us? Let us read the entire passage. If I can get a fast reader. That is Matthew chapter 25, 14 to 30.
Again, it will be like a man going on a journey and who called his servant and trusted his word to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 gold bags, and another 1 bag, each according to his ability. And he went on his journey. Verse 16. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gave 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gave 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went up, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled account with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you treat me with the 5 bags of gold, see, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You are being faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 22. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you treat me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. The man replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Where then, you have put my money on deposit with the banker, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will be an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them.
Thank you very much. Today, some of us feel, if you follow this story, some of us feel, whoa, I'm not rich. I don't have the ability, and so I will do nothing about it. But if you follow that story, you will realize that God punishes the one who refuses to use what He has given, what He has been given. What are the key points in this story? The master gave the servant different amounts of talents. The translation says, bad. But the popular translation or version call it talent. He gave them different amount of talent based on their ability. Today, God has given us different gifts, opportunities, and privileges based on our abilities. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible told us that, according to Paul, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Oftentimes we think what we have is not enough to glorify God or fit for the purpose of doing the will of God. But the Bible makes us to know that His grace is sufficient. I am not eloquent, so I cannot preach the word. No, the one that you have, that you can vocalize, is enough to convince his soul. God knows the best for each and every one of us. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, he told us that, "My thoughts towards you, they are of good and not of evil." There is no one here, or maybe anywhere else, that God doesn't have a good plan for. And so what he has given you, the look, the family, the choices that are available to you, God wants you to use it for his own purpose and to his own glory. In the story, two servants, they were wise and invested and multiplied what they've been given. But the other was unwise. They were given and they were rewarded for being faithful. We see an example of people who showed diligence in what they were given and they were rewarded. A very important story is the story of Elijah and the Zarephath widow. The Zarephath widow and her son are in a famine and they're about to die. They have just a piece of flour and oil. But Elijah went to her and asked her for the little food. And here, this woman gave it to Elijah. But what happened to the woman? The Bible told us that the flour never got exhausted, neither is the oil. Today, what do you have that you think is little? God can multiply it. He wants you to step out on faith and utilize it. Don't keep it like the lazy and wicked servant. That story we can see in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, 8 to 16. One important thing we should never forget is that the servant that buried his talent was punished. The Bible told us that he was called lazy and wicked. What does the talent represent? Like I've said before, the talent represents gifts, opportunity, time, resources that we have been provided with today. God expects that we are faithful and diligent with whatsoever thing that has been given to us, to use it to his own glory, and that we must be accountable for all that we were given. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible told us that it is required in stewardship to be faithful. This servant shows different attitude that is similar to the kind of attitude that we also express today. The faithful and diligent ones, the Bible says they were diligent and they trust the master. Whatsoever opportunity or gift that we have today, we have to exercise trust that this is the best for the moment and we need to use it to the glory of God. They took initiative and worked hard. What about you? Are you good in coordination? Are you good in making things happen? Or maybe in motivation? How many people have you encouraged? God rewards faithfulness and not just being success. So many of us have good gifts, but we use it maybe to glorify ourselves or for our own selfish benefits. But God is not interested in how much you have achieved. is that he's interested in being faithfulness, being faithful. Don't forget, the Bible told us in the book of Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those that come to God must believe that he is. And the interesting part to me is that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We must use our talent to glorify God. How we use our talent matters. Remember in our popular passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the Bible was admonishing us about taking communion, he said, we should not take unworthily. You can have a gift and misuse it. And therefore, how do we misuse our gift? When you use your gift to glorify yourself or to profit yourself or for human purpose, think about it, what you're doing today. What surrounds you? Are they for your own basin or for the glory of God? Are we actively using our gifts or are we waiting for a better time? Some people will continue to procrastinate. Oh, this is not a good time. When we come to church, it's an opportunity. Some people decide that, oh, I'm not okay today. Maybe tomorrow I will come. But tomorrow may be too late. Today, God wants you to come. Your presence is very valuable. The things we do today, here, the fact that we recognize it, we are giving glory to God. Your presence motivates another to remain steadfast. The late servant, the Bible tells us that he was fearful and he gave excuses. Many of us are like that. We are full of excuses. I am weak. I am tired. I don't have much. I don't have strength. But the little that God has given to you, what are you doing about it? We bury our talent instead of using it, just like the lazy servant. And we blame the master. God is unfaithful. God doesn't like me. It is common in the church that people say, they don't visit me, they don't care about me. But how much do you care, even yourself? If you are given an opportunity and you refuse to use it, the Bible regards you as being wicked and lazy. God has given every one of us gifts and ability today. What are you doing about it? Faithfulness leads to greater opportunities. Oftentimes you think we don't have, but the ones you have you invested in so that you can get more? Fear and inaction lead to loss. Remember in the story, the one that has one was taken away and given to that which he had. So don't worry, you should be aware. The opportunities that you have today that you refuse to use it might be taken away and be given to another. And finally, we must know that we must give account of all that we have been given. Now that we have heard the word once again, what would you do about it? Will you let it speak again and go back to your ways of life? Ways, the worldly ways, unforgiveness, unrepentance, lack of humility, lack of diligence. We have opportunity of the word every time. What are you doing about it? You hear the word every day, yet your life is not changing. Don't you know that the opportunities God has given to you and for you to amend your ways. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, the Bible told us that there is a just recompense of reward. Let's read that passage. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 3.
Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angel.
Yes, you are correct.
Okay. For if the word spoken through angel, through steadfast, and tempt transgression, and do not receive a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect to make salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to all by those who heard it. God also bears witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will.
Bible says, how shall we escape? There is a just recompense of the world for every disobedience and for every transgression. Maybe you are here today, you have another opportunity to hear about the gospel of Christ. How he saves man, how he makes your life a meaning, how he makes you fulfill his purpose on earth. What are you going to do about it? Today, God has given you another time. Are you going to waste it? Why not take a step of faith today? Accept Christ, give him a chance in your life, and receive everlasting life. May the Lord bless his word in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.